Welcome to Author Express. Thanks for checking us out. This is the podcast where you give us 15 minutes of your time and we give you a chance to hear the voice behind the pages and get to know some of your favorite writers in a new light. I'm one of your hosts, Kathleen Basie. I'm an award-winning musical composer, feature writer, essayist, and of course, storyteller. Let me tell you a little about today's guest. Sarah Brunsvold is a farm girl turned city dweller who followed her lifelong dream of becoming a novelist through many detours and twists. Her latest women's contemporary novel, The Atlas of Untold Stories, was hailed by Publishers Weekly as having expressive prose and a quietly stirring climax. Readers will be moved. When she is not writing or helping others realize their writing dreams through editing and mentoring, Sarah can be found on a coffee run with her teenage daughters or exploring the Midwest with her family. Welcome, Sarah, to Author Express.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so happy to be here.
So tell me the most interesting thing about where you're from.
So I grew up in a town called Hannibal, Missouri, which some readers may recognize as Mark Twain's hometown. And so it's also the setting for The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. So all those places that he talks about in the book, the cave, you know, the fence that's whitewashed, the river, of course, all of those are real places. And I grew up visiting those and going on school trips to those. So I was influenced by great American literature from very early on, even though I lived on a farm.
So that's very cool that you lived outside of Hannibal, I assume, if you were on a farm?
Yes, that's correct. We're about 9 miles outside, just west of Hannibal.
Okay, yeah, that's actually very close to where I live. We drive through all of that area to get up to Hannibal. I did an event at some churches up there in January. So that was the last time that I've been there. And it was fun to go to the cave again after having not been there for several years.
Yes. And it's funny, I haven't been since I was a kid. And my daughters, who have been to Hannibal multiple times, you know, to visit family and our roots there, they have yet to go to the cave. They've done all the other touristy stuff, but we have not yet taken them to the cave. So got to get on that.
Yeah. It's a fun tour. I'm curious to know what kind of farm you were growing up on. Were you doing the whole soybeans and corn thing?
So we did have some crops. We were a dairy farm. So, you know, we did raise corn, alfalfa, but mainly for our cows. But yes, we were on a dairy farm. We had Carmel Jerseys, which are brown dairy cows. And it was a multi-generational farm. So my brother and I were the third generation to be raised on that farm. And it was something where our ancestors from Germany actually came over in the 1800s and settled in that area. And so that land had been in our family for many generations. And in fact, the church where I grew up, it was a very small rural Lutheran church out in the middle of cornfields. And our ancestors helped found that church. So I went to church with both sets of grandparents, went to school, the same school my dad went to, in the same area where my grandpa grew up. That area is very special to us. A lot of my extended family still lives in that area. So it's just neat to go back and be among that richness of family history.
Did your brother stay on the farm, or is it ended now?
It is ended now, unfortunately. Yes. My dad actually encouraged my brother and me to find other employments.
Oh.
So we both left the farm to pursue other careers, but in the land, unfortunately, we ended up having to sell the land after my dad passed away. But fortunately, it went to a distant cousin of mine. So I guess technically it's still in the family and it's still being farmed, but it's just not in my immediate family.
Well, dearie, my dad grew up on a dairy farm, and you know, there are no holidays. The cows have to be milked twice a day, every day, and it does not matter if it's a birthday or a vacation or whatever. So yeah, that's an intense lifestyle.
It very much is. Yes. And so, yeah, we didn't have a lot of vacations growing up. And of course, with farm life, you know, it's just hard, but there's also some sweet aspects to it. You know, you do learn a work ethic from a young age, and you learn to appreciate what you have. And I think there's a lot of faith formation that comes in, you know, being reliant on the land and on the elements to actually earn an income off it. There's so much external factors at play that completely undo all of your great plans, whether it's ruining the harvest or, you know, disease coming for your cattle. But there's a lot of faith formation in that, learning to trust and learning that everything is a cycle. And there's peaks and valleys. And if you stay the course, that's the only way that you can do. That's the only thing you can do is just stay the course.
Well, I could talk to you about farm stuff all day, but I think that our listeners would probably like to hear about your book. So can you tell us about the Atlas of Untold Stories in about a sentence?
Absolutely. So the story is about a mom and her two grown daughters who go on a bookish road trip around America's heartland, seeking out different towns and sites that are connected in some way to American literature. And as they travel, they are not only discovering how these stories affect them, but how these stories unlock the untold stories among them. And those are the stories that are going to change their lives.
That sounds fascinating. As soon as I saw the description of this book, I thought, oh, I got to have her on this show. I wonder if you've got the mother and the daughters. Are there minor characters around the edges of this book as well that you think, oh, maybe that person could have their own story?
Oh, they could have their own story. Interesting. I do think that there is a minor character that you see with the youngest daughter, Chloe, in her point of view. So the story is told in the point of view of all three, the mom and then the two daughters. And in Chloe's storyline, she has a landlord named Seymour, who is just a riot. He's a lot of fun to read. He's a lot of fun to have written. So potentially I could see him showing up in a future story. He's just got a great personality to him. He's blunt, but in a humorous kind of way. And I wouldn't mind spending some more time with Seymour.
Those are the fun characters. A lot of times.
Yes.
Probably characters that bear no resemblance to you because we're all too polite.
Yeah, exactly.
They say that one of the things that you can explore with characters is the person who's able to do the things that you only wish you had the courage to do.
Isn't that the truth? Yes, I 100% agree with that.
So how did you approach, if you're talking about mother and daughter relationships, how did you approach developing the relationships among these three women?
So a lot of it is just drawing from personal experience of, you know, either what I have seen or experienced myself with mother-daughter dynamics. So I think one of the things about generational dynamics is there's always more to the story than what we think we know, especially if we're talking about, you know, daughter to mother. There's a lot to our parents' history and a lot to their stories that maybe we don't realize, or we think that we understand all of the details, but it's not until we make a concerted effort to really get to know them better that more of what has shaped them as a human being kind of comes to light. And I think that's true the other way around. You know, as a mom with two teenage daughters, I have really learned that there are hidden parts to my daughters that I didn't acknowledge or didn't realize existed. And it helps form my perspective of who they are, what they're meant to do, and maybe the purpose for their lives. So I kind of approached it from that angle of there are stories, even in the people who are closest to us, there are stories that we don't know about them. And what happens when we do start to uncover those hidden details? How does that reshape our understanding of who they are and our understanding of how we are in relationship with them?
That's interesting. I wonder how much self-reflection goes into when you're writing a book like this, how much you start reflecting on your own life and your own relationships through the light of what you're seeing in in your characters.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's kind of a two for one. It's both an inspiration from my own relationship with my daughters. In fact, that I have dedicated the book to them because they were the two that I was thinking of the most as I was writing. But it's also, like you said, a reflection upon. So it's an inspiration from, and it's a reflection upon the relationship that I do have, but also what do I aspire to have? What kind of relationship do I aspire to have with them? And I think the same was true with my own mom. You know, what relationship do I have with my mom, but what do I aspire to have with her? And quite frankly, I identified with the mother in this story more than anyone else. And perhaps that's the life stage that I'm in. So much like Edie, the mother, you know, I am in that process of learning to trust my girls really to the Lord. You know, this is a Christian novel. And so a lot of that theme comes forward, learning to trust that they are on the right path, that I have done what I was supposed to have done, you know, to help them get on that path, but learning to let them go into their own lives and just embrace that fact that was always supposed to happen. They, you know, they weren't always supposed to live with me. They are supposed to launch and find their wings and be their own people and live their own lives. And that's not necessarily something that I can be along with the ride. I can be along on the ride with them, but in a very different way than when they were, you know, under 18.
Well, you have teenage daughters, so that actually brings up a question about how you manage to write. How do you stay disciplined and meet writing goals and make the whole thing happen?
Well, deadlines help.
Deadlines do
those
help.
Those immovable milestones certainly help. I think I do better with hard and fast deadlines. You know, I don't know how I do it. I'm asked that a lot, and I know other authors are as well. And I don't have a fun answer. I think you just take it day by day, and you know, you find those hours. Somehow, they always come up. You know, they're always there. They're always provided. But day by day, just looking for those opportunities to work on what it is that's the priority for today. So some days, you know, I'm able, especially when my daughters are in school or they are otherwise occupied, maybe at camp, I can get hours of writing done. And then there are days like yesterday, I got maybe 30 minutes, you know, but I am thankful for every minute of writing that I can do and just try to make the most of what I do have.
Okay. Well, as we start to wrap up, tell us what's the one place people should go to find you online.
The one place that you can find me and all the goodies that I have for you for free is sarahbrunsvold.com. That is my website. Find more information about my books. And there's also a way to contact me through my website. So I would love to connect with you there.
Great. So, and finally today, tell us what book or story inspires you the most, if it's not Mark Twain.
One of the books that inspires me the most is actually Louisa May Alcott's Little Women. It is one of my favorite all-time books. I'm an underliner, and I have more than one copy on my shelf, and my marked-up copy is full of ink.
Oh, that's fun. All right, very good. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, and good luck going forward.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us today. Reviews help other people to find us, so please take a minute to give us a rating and leave a few words. We'll be here again next Wednesday. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram at Author Express Podcast to see who's coming up next. Don't forget, keep it express, but keep it interesting.